Hello everyone, it's Ben Wendell here from Newsletter Marketing Systems. And today on the call, we have one of Zach and my mentors, somebody that we've gone to when it comes to newsletters. It's Jim Palmer. Now, Jim Palmer is actually a marketing and business building expert, and he's the host of Newsletter Guru TV and Stick Like Glue Radio. And he's actually best known internationally as the Newsletter Guru. He's actually the go-to resource for maximizing the profitability of customer relationships. He's also an acclaimed author of four really great books. The Magic of Newsletter Marketing is the first one, which is The Secret to More Profits and Customers for Life. He's got his second book, Stick Like Glue, How to Create an Everlasting Bond with Your Customers so that they spend more, stay longer, and refer more. Also, The Fastest Way to Higher Profits, 19 Immediate Profit Enhancing Strategies You Can Use Today. And also, It's Okay to Be Scared, but Don't Give Up. So when Zach and I were really delving into newsletters and planning to get newsletter marketing systems off the ground, and Jim was the guy we had to go to. He's the go-to guy for newsletters, so we went straight to the best and really picked his brain for what we need to do, and we've partnered alongside Jim. So really, it's a real treat to have him on the line today, and I think you're all going to get a lot of value from this. So I'd just like to welcome Jim to the call, and thank you for being our guest today, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Ben. How are you doing?
Well, thanks. All right, so well, firstly, I'd just like you to just tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do.
I help clients and customers really all over the world maintain stronger relationships with their customers, clients, and patients so they stay longer. Because, Ben, as you know, customers, clients, and patients that stay longer end up spending more, so that is a substantial increase in repeat business. And they also end up referring more, which is a phenomenal source of new business. And, through the newsletters we mail monthly and through the newsletters that you mail monthly, the stronger relationships end up turning these customer relationships into much longer, like over the course of the lifetime. And of course that means higher profits. So it's really all about, retention and just about everything that I do. Newsletters happens to be the most phenomenal tool to use for retention. But, you know, most of what I do, Ben, is client retention based work.
All right. Well, you talk a lot about this customer retention, you know, and that versus customer acquisition. Why is it so important that entrepreneurs and small business owners focus on customer retention?
You know, Ben, it doesn't matter what kind of business you have, whether you're a product-based business or a service-based business. You know, we all go through the same, I call it a dance, you know, the know, like, and trust dance. So whether somebody comes to you by way of some of your marketing, or perhaps somebody's been referred to you by a current, you know, a satisfied customer, they come to know, like, and trust you, and then they say, okay, here's some of my money. I want to buy one of your products, or I want to buy one of your services, or hire you to do something. And what happens with most entrepreneurs and small business owners at that point is they celebrate and, you know, kind of almost ceremoniously ring the bell. Hey, you know, we got a great new customer. But from my point of view, Ben, I think what they have is all they have really is an initial transaction with a new customer. What you want to do is focus on that relationship so it can mature and develop and grow over a very long lifetime. Again, so they'll buy more of the different products of the services that you offer and also refer more. So most companies, Ben, you know, kind of their whole marketing budget is aimed at kind of the customer acquisition side. How do we get more customers? In fact, some people, when they gain a new customer, they say, yes, hooray for me. And then they're off trying to find another new customer, you know, either however they're doing that, marketing, knocking on doors, phone calls, whatever. But what I really have been a proponent of for a long time is taking a majority of your marketing budget and your efforts and use that and kind of redirect that toward customer retention, not so much acquisition, because your customers, again, that stay longer end up spending more and referring more, and that is the fastest way to boost your profits. So, you know, retention is really the key strategy as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, it's interesting that you say that, because that's certainly what we've noticed looking at clients when we've talked to them. The marketing budget for customer retention in many cases non-existent. So it's certainly moving some of that money and time into retention is something that I think businesses should look at. Now, one of the things that I really like in your book, Stick Like Glue, you talk about businesses being like a leaky bucket. And I really like that analogy. I mean, what exactly do you mean by that?
You know, I'm a very, I've always been a graphics-based kind of person, so I think visually, Ben. And so even when I'm writing my books, instead of just the written word, I want to try and paint pictures. So in Stick Like Glue, which is a book all about client retention strategies, here's the thing. Everybody's business, and again, whether you have a small home-based business or you have 10 employees or 10,000 employees, everybody's business is like a giant metal bucket of water, okay? Kind of like got a big handle, it's kind of used to take down to the stream or go to the well and you carry water in it. And so the water that's in your bucket represents your customers, all right? That's the very lifeblood of your business. Now, everybody's business leaks to some degree, you know. There could be like holes in the bucket and water kind of pours out. Even then, some of the best run businesses in the world, like, you know, maybe Zappos or Disney or Nordstrom's or, you know, just pick any top run company, they even leak a little bit. Now, they may leak a lot less. Maybe there's a pinhole. Maybe there's a little water kind of dripping out the seams of the bucket. But when the water coming out of the bucket, Ben, that represents lost customers. And you may say, okay, so we got a few drips happening. That's not a big deal. But in reality, every drip and every drop of water that comes out of your bucket is not just a lost customer. It represents all the lost future revenue from that customer. It represents all the lost future referrals from that customer. And then if you want to keep continuing this on, it represents the future referrals and sales and future referrals and sales and on it goes. So as you, and the sad part is for every business, mine included, you know, we lose customers. Even very well-run businesses lose customers over time, and there's just not a great deal you can do about that. But the only way to stay in business, Ben, is to keep putting more water in the top of your bucket, and that represents customer acquisition in all its different forms. What I like to counsel my clients on is plug the holes in your bucket. So keep those customers longer. If you've got a problem, if you've got a problem with, you know, customer service, if you're a restaurant and you got some, you know, irritable waiters, your food isn't good, if you've got any kind of a service business or product-based business that's in any way, shape, or form not exceeding your customer's expectations, chances are you are going to lose a customer over time. And the sad part, or actually the very hard part about that for us business owners, is we don't know when that happens. All we know is that, you know, Joe Smith, our customer, was in last month and we haven't seen him this month. Oh, maybe he'll come in next month. We don't know that Joe's never coming back. And so when you proactively, and I mean proactive is a good word, when you proactively put in systems that are going to make sure your customers are happy and you're over-delivering value. And not only that, Ben, but when you put in systems that proactively encourage them to stay longer, to become better customers for your business, when they stay longer, your profits will go up. So the leaky bucket theory that I write about in Stick Like Glue is kind of a visual way to help you understand, you know, what it's like to plug the holes in your system, which is focusing more on client retention.
Yeah, no, thanks for explaining that and going into it. It's, yeah, really, I love the visual analogy that you use there. Now, I mean, you talk about customer retention and something, obviously being the newsletter guru, newsletters is one way that you suggest that you can really improve customer retention, but why are newsletters actually so important to growing your business?
You know, newsletters are important for a couple of reasons. First of all, they're very effective, and we can talk about that in a second, as to why they work so well, because they do. And I think the big caveat that I want to say is properly written newsletters work really, really well. You know, some kind of newsletters that a corporation puts out that are boring, they don't work so well. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But newsletters are important to growing your business. Again, I just want to focus on retention. Let me give you a statistic, Ben. You know, for each 1% increase in customer retention, that translates into a 7% increase in profits. Now, one of the major reasons for that is that, you know, we all know it costs at least five to ten times more to obtain a new customer than it does to retain and therefore sell more to a customer you already have. And so newsletters, I mean, there's just nothing better for building healthy, strong, dependable, reliable, predictable, and profitable relationships than a customer newsletter. So, you know, I know we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, why they're so effective, but that's really the main strategy with a newsletter.
Yeah, no, well, I think, like you said, you know, I guess a good way to define it is that actually it's a customer newsletter. It's not a subscription newsletter. It's not something that they're paying for. It's just something that you send to them as a way of valuing their business, and they've been a customer. Now, I mean, you've just sort of went into the, you know, the effective, why newsletters are effective marketing tools. And I guess, yeah, if you could just elaborate on that a little bit more, that would, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. So, you know, some people go, well, I get newsletters from my insurance company and they're big, thick, glossy paper and they're boring, and you know, I feel the same way. I get those too. The newsletters that I'm talking about are relationship building tools. And so when you have and I like the way you said it, it's a customer newsletter. It's not a company newsletter. A company newsletter, when I think of that, Ben, it's like, well, that's maybe an internal newsletter where you're introducing a new staff member, maybe introducing a new policy or some introducing the company picnic or something like that. A customer newsletter is something that you specifically write with your customer in mind, all right? So you're going to write it so it's fun, interesting, informative for them to read, and therefore they'll want to read it and start getting the benefit. But let me give you a couple of reasons why newsletters are very, very effective. First of all, people read a properly written customer newsletter with their guard down. I kind of, you know, use quotes around guard down. And so if you think about it, if you're a consumer and you're reading a brochure, some kind of a marketing thing or a sales letter or maybe even a website, your guard is up a little bit, right? Because you think, well, there's going to be a price, there's going to be an offer, they're going to encourage me to buy something. And, you know, people have become conditioned to be resistant to advertising, yet they're non-resistant to reading information. And that's why the newsletters that you're doing are so effective. So that's number one. Point number two, newsletters are awesome at increasing brand name awareness. Now, probably don't have to explain that a lot, but you know, every month when someone gets your newsletter in the mail and they see your name, you know, maybe your logo, the name of the newsletter, they probably read your, you know, see your picture and read an article by you. So it's building top of mind awareness. People buy when they're ready to buy. All right. So if you start sending somebody a newsletter and 3 months later they haven't made a purchase, that's not a bad thing. You're strengthening the relationship. So at the point they are ready to buy, when the circumstances are correct for them and they're ready to purchase, you'll be the first person they think of or the first person they'll refer. Another point, Ben, is that newsletters are a great way to enhance your reputation as an industry expert. And you do that by way of what I call the monthly success story. So one of the things that you can do is write a story about how your business has helped another client with a product or service. And so that sets you up as not only an industry expert, but it also helps show customers some of the other things that you do. And I think let me give you two more points. Newsletters are very effective at introducing new products and services. So if you remember when I said, when you get a new customer, you do so by way of a single transaction. So that customer at that point, Ben, they know that you sell, for example, you know, widget A, or that you perform service B, but they probably don't know a whole lot else. And most companies offer a wide variety of services, or at least, you know, 3, 5, 10 more, it doesn't matter, but they're not aware of all these other things. So every month when they're reading the newsletter, and they're especially the success story, they're learning a little bit more about this company. So again, they've already proven that they know, like, and trust you because they gave you some money initially. It's so much easier to sell something to somebody that already knows you and that has already given you money compared to trying to go out and get a new customer. So that's another big win there. And I think the final one I would say, Ben, is that newsletters, and you know, I'm not sure if we said it or not, but let's be clear. We're talking about paper and ink, print and mail newsletters, not electronic newsletters, e-zines or whatever. So newsletters, printed newsletters are read by multiple readers, and they're a great source of referrals. I can tell you many, many cases, and I got tons of testimonials, as I'm sure you have with your program, where newsletters tend to get passed around. So in a business-to-business environment, you know, a newsletter may get passed from one, you know, one office worker or colleague to another, say, hey, you know, weren't you interested in this? This is a good company I've hooked up with. Or even if you're in the consumer business and maybe you do backyard ponds or pools or landscape and you send your customers a newsletter, there's no doubt you're going to have some people over to show off your landscape and, hey, who did that? Oh, and the name may come to you, but more importantly, you can say, oh, here's a newsletter from them, and then they take it home and they'll call your business. So those are just a few of the ways, Ben, and I think there's several things there to get people excited as to why they are so doggone effective.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, and it's interesting you make the point about the online versus offline newsletters. Obviously, paper and ink in the mail tends to get open and read a lot more than, say, email. Have you got any comments on that, Jim?
I do. You know, it's. I always call it the big debate, email versus print. And so when I do a lot of speaking, people will come up to me later and say, Jim, I really understand the value of newsletters, but, you know, I'm just going to save the printing and postage and do email. And what I'll say to them with a smile is, so you really don't care about 80% of your customers, and they'll kind of look inquisitive. And I'll say, here's the thing, I do a lot of internet marketing, but I'm not an expert. I have people that are experts that work for me, thankfully. But here's what I've come to know. If you get a 15 to 20% open rate on your emails, you are killing it. I mean, you're doing great. So for easy math, let's say that you're a business that has 1,000 customers and you say, I'm not going to do a print and mail newsletter. I'm going to go the cheap way and do the easy. Well, what that means is on a good day when you hit send, you know, anywhere from 750 to maybe 800 of your 1,000 customers are not going to get your electronic newsletter. It's going to be stuck and trapped by spam filters and, you know, junk mail filters and things like that. And one of the reasons that is, Ben, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but the word newsletter is one of the top five words that spam filters use because, you know, everybody and their brother does an electronic newsletter. So what that means, by the way, let me just be real clear. I'm not kind of poo-pooing internet marketing at all. There's still a very good place for internet. It's part of a comprehensive marketing strategy. But if you're only communicating with 15 to 20% of your customers and the other, you know, 85% or so are not hearing from you, that's a very bad thing. So that's number one. And let me give you a couple reasons why print is the preferred way to build stronger relationships with your customers and therefore, you know, get more repeat business and more referrals and, you know, increase the lifetime value of a customer. When you go to your physical mailbox, on any given day, I generally get 6 to 10 pieces of mail. Now, during the holidays, I'm probably getting twice that, but it's usually 6 to 10 pieces of physical mail. But on any given day, I probably get 200 to 300 emails, and that's just what makes it to my inbox, right? So right off the bat, as a marketer of your business, you are competing with much less what I call noise or clutter when you're doing print. So that's a big thing. Now, the other thing is email addresses change far more frequently than people move their physical address. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't, you know, at least here in the States, Ben, I'm pretty sure it's the same way there. There's no place where people will go and you know, get a change of an email address card and say, here's my old email, here's my new one, please keep sending me the e-zine. So that doesn't happen. And what that tells you is every time someone changes email address, even if they've opted in and they want to get your newsletter, they're no longer going to receive it because that email is dead. And I guess I'll give you maybe one more. You know, print has a higher perceived value. So you said something earlier, Ben, when people get your newsletter, it shows you care. I'm going to really emphasize that. It shows you care in a huge way because, you know, anybody can send, I sometimes will reference, Father's Day. You know, I have 4 grown kids, Ben, and on, Father's Day 2 years ago, I did get a card in the mail. I got 2 phone calls and my oldest son sent me a text message. Now, I'm looking at the text message. It was a very nice, heartfelt message, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, my son is holding his phone to put in this text message. He could have easily called me, you know? And so what I'm saying is anything that's kind of digital or electronic has a lower perceived value. And I guess the final thing I'll say is I call this the Hallmark test. If you don't believe that's true, then the next time your anniversary or your spouse's birthday rolls around, send them, you know, one of these e-cards instead of a, you know, a $6 print and mail card and see what kind of reaction you get.
Yeah, I don't suggest you do that if you want to stay in a happy, happy, loving marriage.
Yeah, you won't be popular. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you going into that. Now, I mean, obviously Zach and I have had a good chat to you about how to create a newsletter that's actually going to get read, one that's going to build a relationship, going to get you more referrals. Can you actually share some of your secrets about how to create a profitable customer newsletter?
Sure can. And let me just first of all give you kudos for what you and Zach have done with Newsletter Marketing Systems. It's phenomenal. You're following the plan exactly as I would do it. So it's, you know, I'm sure your customers and clients are starting to get some results. But so let me kind of pull back the curtain and kind of inform people as to what you're putting in your newsletters. First of all, number one, you want to tell your customers what else you do. And you heard me allude to the monthly success story on the front page. That's where you do that. That's where you're going to, you know, by way of a story, not just a featured product of the month, because that reeks of marketing and that reeks of sales. You want to tell a story about how your business helped another business by one of your products or services. Number two, you want to tell them what else is new. And again, you can do that with your success story. But let me give you probably the most important two things that you can do with a customer newsletter. Number one, you want to have the proper mix of content. There's two different types of content you want to put in a very, very successful and profitable newsletter. I call it work stuff and other stuff. I've heard other people call it relevant material and non-relevant material. So the work stuff or relevant material, Ben, is the success story in the front. If you have perhaps a personality-based article, and what I mean by that is something that's kind of about you. So if you're an entrepreneur, you know, you want to kind of take down the, what I call the corporate veil of B2B business. So if, you know, people always do business with people, not business. They don't do business with like brick and mortar companies, you know. So share a little bit about you, you know, Ben, I know you're familiar with me. I always talk about me going kayaking. We adopted a dog, Toby, and he's always, you know, in my office. We go for walks around the lake. And so I'm not saying I share very, very personal things. That's not what I'm saying at all, but I help people get to know me, you know, and just get a little bit more to know me. That gets them more comfortable with me. Ultimately, that's going to make it easier for them to do business. So the work stuff is your lead article, your success story, maybe a short personality-based story, and something like that. The other stuff, or the non-relevant content, what that means, Ben, is that has absolutely nothing to do with your core business. So what that means, Ben, is those are the additional articles, and some people call it filler. You know, I mean, that's really exactly what it is, but I think that has kind of a negative connotation to the word, but I'm going to use it so people understand what I'm talking about. I'm talking about like Reader's Digest type of articles, the short articles that are fun, interesting, informative, and entertaining to your customers. Now, Ben, in my business, when I do a lot of speaking, people will say, oh, Jim, my customers don't want to read that stuff. And I'm going to say, you are 100% wrong, sir or ma'am, because people are they're too busy in their own lives. And if you are let's say, for example, you are you run an automotive repair garage. People don't want to know, you know, about the latest tool you bought. They don't want to know how to, you know, necessarily even change an oil filter or do any kind of mechanical repair. Quite frankly, the opposite. The reason they have a relationship with you is they trust you and you repair their car. The reason that smart mechanic will send them a newsletter is so their name is top of mind. Now, you could have an article or two about maybe this big, big job you got and how it turned out, and a success story may be something where somebody came in thinking they were going to need a new engine or transmission. And thankfully, because, you know, what we did is we put it on our diagnostic machine and we were able to repair a valve or something, and they're off. And so that's a good, and then I think the point of a story like that would be if that red light goes on in your dash or something, you know, come in and you know, it's one way to turn a molt semi very, very expensive repair into something that's insignificant. So that's a story that what it does is in that very kind of short description I gave you, Ben, it says, well, they repair transmissions. They're smart. They got the technology and the service and they help save this guy money. Boy, it reinforces they're a good place. Another example I'll give you just to kind of drive the point home. Let's say you're an exterminator. You don't want a newsletter filled with, you know, how you get bugs or, you know, rodents or anything like that. You may have one success story of, you know, somebody had snakes in their basement or, you know, oh, that's kind of gross, but we're able to take them out. We actually, you know, put them in a snake farm or something. I don't know. You don't want to necessarily say you killed them or whatever, but, you know, so there's kind of a success story. And so somebody that hired you maybe for ants or other pests or termites, oh, I didn't know they handled rodents. I didn't know they handled snakes. I didn't know they dealt with stuff under my porch or something like that. So again, it's a success story, how you helped another customer. The non-relevant stuff, after they read that story, are the other things that your customers are going to find fun, interesting, informative, and entertaining. So, for example, you know, how to talk to your kids about money, work-life balance. Maybe there's a leadership tip. Maybe there's an email tip. Maybe there's a tip on eating healthy or how to save money with your heating bill. And you can pick and choose any number of things. But here's the thing, and this is where I really want people to understand. Reader's Digest is a magazine. It's a short little magazine that's really not about anything. It's just about a whole bunch of different little fun, newsy tips. It's got puzzles, cartoons, humor, and different strategies. It's one of the most subscribed to magazines in history because people are sometimes bored. They don't want to read more about you and what you do. They don't want to read more about the awards you won or anything like that. But they will read a tip if they can read it quickly and learn something. And so I'm going to give you a real technical term, Ben. I call it the hmm factor, and that's like HMM hmm factor. So if somebody reads a fun, interesting, informative little tidbit and they go, I didn't know that. That's interesting. The next time, next month, when your newsletter is delivered to their mailbox, they're going to have a favorable response. I mean, almost a physiological thing. Oh, I remember that. Don't throw that out. I want to read that tonight or something. And so when you have a good balance of content in your newsletters, that is going to make your newsletters get read every time.
Yeah, no, it's love all the gem. I mean, Zach and I, the terms we use, you said the work stuff, other stuff. We generally tend to talk about it in industry related and sort of more general interest content. So industry related being the work stuff. So a real estate agent, if they're talking about houses and rents and sales and that sort of stuff. Then obviously the other stuff there, all the general interest stuff you were talking about. And on top of that, things like, you know, quizzes and trivia and competitions and that sort of stuff. I mean, something that Zach and I talk to our clients about, is putting things like, some testimonials in there occasionally or, welcoming aboard new clients, perhaps, to put their name on there, or if somebody refers a client to actually acknowledge them and say thanks for the referral publicly in the newsletter. Do you have any other little suggestions or tips like that you could,
those are great ones. I mean, you know, a lot of people make is they make themselves the star of their newsletter. And what you said is very, very important, Ben. You want to make your customers, clients, or patients, well, probably not patients for privacy, but you want to make your customers and clients the star. So if you got a new client or somebody did something well, man, write a little thing about it. Oh, the only caveat to that is you got to make sure you always ask yourself, when you put something in a newsletter, will my readers find this fun, interesting, and informative? In a lot of cases, they will. Newsletters are a great way to promote a referral program. And there's not a business on the planet that doesn't want more referrals. So let's say you are a daycare center, maybe a child, you take care of children during the day. So you should have a referral program that says, you know, for every family or every child you refer, you're going to get one day or a week of free childcare. That's a big deal. But you know what? Here's the thing. People congregate with people of like minds. So if you are a mom or a dad with kids, chances are you live in a neighborhood with other kids. You know, maybe you go to church and there's other kids. You're involved in other activities. And so people talk kind of kid stuff, you know what I mean? So, oh, well, where does, you know, Bobby go to daycare? Oh, he goes over to, you know, the Child Care Academy or whatever. And by the way, you ought to go there. I mean, it's an awesome place. Now, if that customer sends somebody over there and they then gain a new customer, I suggest you have a very robust referral program. So in the case of the example I just gave, they get a free week of childcare. Now, the next thing to do, because that's really, by the way, I mean, what you really want if you're a business owner is you want an army of happy customers out there promoting your business for you. Nothing better than that. So the next thing you want to do is to promote your actual referral program. And the way to do that is to promote the winner of the monthly referral contest or the quarterly contest or the annual contest, whatever you're doing, and promote that on the front page. So if you have a referral contest, even if you only get 3 referrals, whoever gives you the best referral or the most referrals, they're the winner, they get a prize. And here's where I encourage clients not to be, you know, a little cheap in their thinking. Don't give them 10% off a purchase or don't give them a movie ticket. Give them something of value. I mean, if you give them something worth, you know, even like an iPad or, you know, a TV or, I mean, you know, if you think about what the value of a lifetime customer is, that's a good way to help you kind of release the anxiety you may have about giving something of value. But when you give something of value and you got a picture on the front page of your newsletter of you, the business owner, shaking hands with your client who gave you a referral and you're handing them a prize or something, what does that do? That tells every other person reading the newsletter you have a referral program and it's a darn nice one. And they should get going. So that's a very, very good strategy.
Yeah, no, there's some great, great little tips there as well. So now, one of the things that Zach and I have had a chat about is your term newsletter pansy. It's something we've read in your books and also heard you talk about a bit. Can you tell us what a newsletter pansy is?
Oh yeah. By the way, this newsletter pansy report has been downloaded, I think, almost a million times. I think it was like 700,000-800,000 times. And it's about 3 to 4 years old. But I'm involved in an organization called Glazer Kennedy. I think you are as well, Ben. And you know, Bill Glazer, a few years ago, I was exhibiting at one of their national conferences, and Bill Glazer said, "Jim, I want you to come up with something that you can give everybody that comes to our conference." And then he challenged me at the end. He said, "And don't come up with, you know, some little thing that says, you know, 5 secrets to a better or whatever, you know, come up with something different and unique." So I was kind of challenged. And so instead of going the positive route about, you know, here's, you know, some secrets on doing newsletters, what I said, I thought about it because, you know, I've been doing newsletters for over 30 years. And I thought of all the people that start a newsletter with the best of intentions, but then they stop prematurely and therefore they don't see the results. I wonder why they do that. And I started looking for it and other reasons why someone would fail as a newsletter marketer. And I came up with these, 2 or 3 different reasons. And, well, let me tell you what those reasons are. First of all, they expect one newsletter to turn their business around. You know, they mail their first newsletter and they stand by their cash register waiting for it to ring. And that's not reality. And second, they don't mail to everybody on their mailing list. They try and do a very, very small sampling to try and save money. But, you know, when you do a small sampling, you're going to likely get a small result. And then the third killer is they don't mail every month, and you must mail monthly. Every 30 days, 12 times a year, 3 times a quarter, however many times, different ways I can say it, you must mail your newsletter every month, and that is going to get you stronger relationships. So once I identified these 3 or 4 reasons why people fail, I had to come up with a name for the report. And a good buddy of mine lives real near me. His name is Mike Capuzzi. He invented this thing called Copy Doodles. And so Mike was over at my house, and he goes, "Hey, what's that you're writing?" I told him. And I explained, just like I explained to you, he says, "Why in the world would people do that?" I go, "I don't know, I think they're pansies." And he goes, "Nah, they're newsletter pansies." And that's really the genesis of how that report came about. But the important lesson, other than it being a kind of a humorous story, is that newsletters are not a quick fix, all right? It's like I always say, you don't ask somebody to marry you on the first date. You've got to go through a little bit of a courtship. So when you start sending out a newsletter, you should be prepared for it to take anywhere from 3 months to 6 months before you start seeing some results. And after the 3 to 6 month mark, what the typical business is going to see, they're going to start seeing more referrals. They're going to start seeing some of their current customers come back and order more products, whether it's the same product or introduce them to new products and things like that. And when that happens, Ben, something happens. There's like a little transformation in the business owner. I call it they get marketing muscles. So they start getting a little more strong and muscular about their campaign, and they may feel better about doing their newsletter. And right about the 6 month mark, Ben, what happens for many, many companies that do the newsletter the right way, the way you subscribe in the newsletter marketing system, is it goes from being just an expense to the business. It goes from being an expense to an asset, a profit-producing asset. Many, many business owners, after about 6 months, they see the newsletter and they go, gosh, get that newsletter out. It's time to get it out. Every time we send it out, we get more business. And so it's really kind of getting over that initial six-month hurdle, which is probably the biggest kind of pansy point, if you will.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. And it's interesting you say that sort of six-month mark, because we, even here in Australia, I mean, obviously, you've worked with people over in the US and around the world, but Zach and I've noticed the exact same thing. At the 6 month mark is where it all seems to turn around. With our newsletters, that we send out called More Business and Referrals, we send out each month. We found the exact same thing. At the 6 month mark, it was almost like clockwork. We just got phone calls that month. We had emails that month, and yeah, it worked really well. And another quite interesting thing that, we actually found with our newsletter personally is it doesn't just work for our existing customers. We put a lot of our prospects on there, and people we meet at networking events, people we've talked to, and we put our prospects on, and it tends to help convert those. Have you had any experiences like that?
Absolutely. So, well, first of all, let me echo what you said as far as the 6 month mark. One of the greatest kind of testimonials I got from a client was, because I pretty much kind of say the same thing many, many times. This person heard me speak, and she started doing a newsletter. She heard me say it takes 6 months. She heard me say they get passed around. She heard me say to write about one of your programs. It helps get people familiar with what you do. She heard me say all that. And I will tell you, and she'll actually admit to this, she was a little apprehensive at first, but she said, I'm going to persevere, Jim. You look trustworthy, so I'm just going to do exactly what you say. And I got the greatest testimonial, Ben, literally about 6 months later after she started sending out her newsletter. I'll just kind of make it short, but she is in the insulation business, so she has different ways of insulating homes and businesses. And so she wrote me a testimonial and said, we've been sending out our newsletter for 6 months, and one of our newsletters was passed from a general contractor in Pennsylvania to a contractor in Hawaii. So, I mean, that's quite a leap. That's like 4,000 or 5,000 miles, but somehow it ended up in somebody else's hands, not the person she mailed it to. On the front cover of that newsletter was her success story, and she was talking about a new spray foam technology. And it worked well for where, you know, in, especially in older buildings where maybe the space between the beams or the rafters was not uniform. So it made it hard to use, you know, kind of fiberglass insulation batting. Anyway, long story short, this company called my client and asked about the spray foam insulation. And 3 months later, after a little, you know, the whole no like and trust dance, they were awarded a $400,000 contract. Turns out this company was refurbishing this antique historic large mansion, and they couldn't find a suitable insulation to get in the, you know, the irregular spaced beams and all the different crevices and cracks, and this spray foam insulation sealed it up nice and tight. So she got a $400,000 contract. I thanked her for the testimonial. I said, I'm guessing you made enough on this job to pay for your newsletter for the next year or two. So that was pretty cool. So it really, really does happen. And so I just want to encourage anybody that's either using your program as new or considering using your program, just go into it knowing it takes about 6 months to show some results. But then what I find, and you're probably finding this too, Ben, is after the 6 month mark, people won't stop because it really is a profit producer. So let me talk about prospecting real quick. So I like that you brought that up. Newsletters are not only awesome for, you know, strengthening and building you know, long, dependable, profitable relationships with current customers, but they're also really good at prospecting. And how that works is, just like you said, you can start sending your newsletter to people you meet, which, by the way, you can do that and not be in any trouble. You can't just put somebody on your email marketing list just because you have their card with their email. That's called spamming. So let's just one more thing about email versus print. But one of the great things about a newsletter, Ben, is that it helps people get to know you over time. So it turns what is either a cold prospect or maybe somebody you just met and shook their hands, that might be a warm prospect, into a lukewarm and maybe even a client that if you call them 3 or 4 months down the road, they're going to be very familiar with you and more apt to get on the phone and therefore take the relationship to the next level. One more strategy on prospecting is this. You could get not just for people you meet, but if you know who your perfect target customer is, let me give you an example and say, let's say that you are a financial planner. You're somebody that works with, customers and helps them kind of shape their financial future, retirement, all that. You know, Ben, those kind of people usually don't, they're not working nationally or internationally. They're usually working maybe with clients within a 10-mile radius of their office, generally speaking. And so if you know who your perfect target customer is, it could be a family, maybe they're in the 40 to 55 range, maybe they got, you know, the certain house value, average income, you know, all these things. What I would do then is I would go to a mailing list company and I would order up a lot of names, maybe, you know, I don't know, 500, 1,000, 2,000 names, however many you could afford, that fit that perfect target customer profile and just start sending them your newsletter. And then, you know, 3 to 4 months later, you could send them or you could e-call them and see if they'd like to get a free consult. You could do put in a freestanding insert in your newsletter, which is, you know, a freestanding sheet of paper, which might invite them to a teleseminar or some kind of phone-based little clinic. And they could then get to hear you and they get to hear some enthusiasm here that you really have some knowledge about your area of expertise. And then you could even make an offer at the end of a teleseminar about a free offer for a consultation or something like that. So a newsletter is a very good way to help take cold prospects to warm prospects, which is what you need to do for them to eventually become paying customers.
Yeah, no, that's really, really interesting. And certainly we have a few of our clients who have done that. They've obviously sold to a certain industry. It's a rather small industry and they're approaching a lot of different people within that industry. They've just started sending their newsletter on a monthly basis to them and they've had some results of people coming along doing their training, and it didn't even take 6 months for them. So yeah, they had some real success there. Now I mean we're getting close on time now, so don't have too much longer, but is there any other things that you want to say in closing, Jim?
Yeah, I would say this, no matter where you are, if you're a new business, if you've got 10 employees, 100, or if you have 10 customers or thousands of customers, the time to get started is like right now. You know, the way business is and the way competition and the economy, has been, you know, people are fighting for every new customer. And so the customers that I'm working with are actually doing very well because again, they're focused on retention. I learned a very important lesson, some 30 years ago when I was managing a business during a recession and we were actually seeing fewer and fewer customers. And what I said is we're going to work hard because we didn't have much of a budget to do more customer acquisition. But I said, we're going to work really hard internally, keep the customers we have. And by the way, we're also going to work through stronger relationships to sell them more of what we have. And we actually, in that year, Ben, I learned a lesson. Well, we did our gross sales were less than the previous year. We came very, very close to having the same net because with fewer customers, we actually sold more goods. And that is a good way to run a business. That's a more profitable way to run a business. So I would say if you're thinking about it, if you'd like to get more repeat business, and let me add the word substantial, if you'd like to get substantially more repeat business, if you'd like to get more referrals, if you'd like to increase the length of time a client stays a client and therefore pays you more money, then start developing a stronger relationship with them. And the absolute bar none number one way to do that is with a monthly customer print and mail newsletter. And anybody that's listening to this, you're in good hands with Ben and Zach. Their program, Newsletter Marketing Systems, is amazing, and I'll tell you, they pretty much follow the plan, so that is a very good thing.
I really appreciate your time today, Jim, and yeah, we look forward to staying in touch and seeing how things go with yourself, and thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Ben. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.